This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, since November 2019, we have been in the grip of COVID-19. All those who answered the question in 2015, where do you see yourself 5 years from now, were wrong. Nobody foresaw COVID-19, one little virus about which we are not even sure if it is a living thing as we know life, turned our world upside down. All our wealth, military power, authority and influence came to nothing. In this situation, we have seen three things which are typical of people facing calamity: fear of annihilation, disruption and confusion, and despair and depression, which sometimes can have extreme consequences. The famous Urdu poet Mirza Asadullah Khan Ghalib wrote this couplet about one of the most brutal periods of Indian history, which he lived through, the First War of Independence, fought against the depredations of the East India Company in 1857. Ghalib Sahib said, Ranj se khugar hua insaan to mit jata hai ranj. Ranj se khugar hua insaan to mit jata hai ranj. Mushkilein mujh par padi itni ke aasan ho gayi. It means when a person becomes used to sorrow, when he becomes accustomed to grief, when he becomes used to sorrow, sorrow is wiped out. So many difficulties fell upon me that everything became easy. It is good to read history because it helps us to put the events of our lives in perspective and not become depressed with the difficulties that we face. We realize that compared to what others like us faced in the past, what we are facing today is like a Sunday school picnic. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us a religion where we recognize Him Jalla Jalaluhu and we turn towards Him, which is the ease that comes with difficulty. For to turn towards the one who can relieve the difficulty is the best comfort. There has been a huge amount of research in the field of psychology about how people deal with stress, especially that which arises out of calamitous events like wars and epidemics and natural disasters and man-made catastrophes. What comes through is that those who have resilience cope with the loss far better and come out of it without psychological damage compared to others. We don't invite calamities, but if we must deal with them, then it is good to know what to do and how our iman and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best resource. Research with survivors of great calamities, wars and concentration camps, shows that there are three critical attitudes. Three things they have or they do which differentiates the survivors from the victims of those great tragedies. What are these three things? Number one, they face the brutal facts. They don't sugarcoat them, they don't look at them through rose-tinted glasses, they face the brutal facts. Number two, they never lose hope in eventual success. This sounds paradoxical, but that's critical. Face the brutal facts, but never lose hope in eventual success. And the third one is they find a way to make a strategy to get out of the mess. They make a way out of the mess. Now, what is the nature of the calamity that we are facing today? I say to you that COVID-19 is the least of our problems. That may sound strange to you, but please bear with me as I explain. Against COVID-19, we have a vaccine. Against the other thing which we are facing, there is no vaccine. COVID-19 only accelerated change that was coming and which we had been ignoring for many years. But now it is before us. Therefore, there are four things about which I will speak to you in more detail over the coming weeks. But here's a preview. I request you to listen, do your own research, reflect, and chart out a path to change your life. We need this very badly. The year ahead is full of unknowns. It is essential to understand what is happening and chart out a course that will lead to safety and success for everyone. The four things are, number one, disruptive technology and artificial intelligence. Number two, poverty and income disparity. Number three, toxic politics. And number four, global warming. Let me try to give you a thumbnail peek into each of these. One of the most visible signs of AI, of artificial intelligence, is self-driving cars, soon to be self-driving trucks. That means the 16-wheelers that make America run will be driverless. This is sold to us as a revolution, which will cut down turnaround time, eliminate accidents, increase margins and profits, boost efficiencies, and will just be so cool. Now stop for a second and ask, what will happen to the 5 million truck drivers whose livelihood depends on those trucks? Multiply that by 5 and you have families. 25 million people with school fees, medical insurance, mortgages, food and utility bills, dreams, aspirations. What will happen to them when you cut off their lifeline? For those who are still unaware, the pandemic was not bad for everyone. Some people became humongously rich thanks to the pandemic. There are many other ways in which disruptive technology and AI will affect us, but this is enough for now for you to think about. Number two, poverty in society is like cancer in the body. It's not an option, but a critical need to eliminate it. The strongest economies are not those with huge income disparities, with the super rich and those living on food stamps and worse, living in the same country. The strongest economies are the ones in which the majority of the population has surplus income for discretionary spending. That is how economies function, where producers of goods and services can compete in the market for attention of buyers who can buy. Poor people also aspire, but do not have the means to achieve their aspirations. That gives rise to crime and violence and drugs and all the evils that we see in our society today. Societies which trumpet from the rooftops about their GDP. That, incidentally, is the worst measurement of the health of an economy. If someone challenged you and asked you and said, can you create an economic system in which 8 men, specifically 8 men, will collectively have more wealth than 50% of the world's population, that is 8 men, their collective wealth will be more than what is owned by 3.5 billion people. Can you create such a system? You would have called them insane. But that's exactly what we have today as I speak. We achieved the impossible. Number three, about toxic politics, I don't think I need to talk to you in any detail. It seems that there is a push towards fascism all over the world. Demonization of sections of the population, in most cases today that is Muslims, by national leaders to distract the attention of the masses, to push through increasingly restrictive, invasive, and oppressive laws in the name of safeguarding public health. COVID was a gift for such leaders, and they took full advantage of it. When the smoke clears, people will be able to see the shackles on their tongues and the collars around their necks, but it will be too late. Not all times are equal. Today, we are at a crossroad in history. When the foundations of the structures of society are shaken, and for a short time, it is given into the hands of ordinary people to change the path of destiny. Once that moment passes, new structures will take the place of old, and the moment of change would have passed, not to return for decades or centuries. To bring about change, to change the path of destiny, we need perspective, we need vision, we need dedication, we need commitment, and we need courage. If we succeed, we will write our own history. If we fail to rise to the challenge, we will be relegated to the trash heap of statistics. It's our call, your and mine. Finally, the biggest calamity that faces us is global warming. The biggest problem is that most people don't understand what it means or the danger it represents, apart from the fact that we have had mild winters for the past few years. Why global warming is a problem, and more importantly, what we as individuals can do to stop it or even reverse it, is something that we are unaware of. It's a typical situation of what is called the boiled frog syndrome, where we don't realize the danger of something until it is too late. These are the brutal facts without any sugarcoating. As I mentioned to you, those who believe in or who want to believe in magic and believe that we will be saved without our effort, they will perish. It is essential to face facts, yet not lose hope, and to create a winning strategy. Let us come to hope. It is in this scenario that we take refuge in the grace of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, who said, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nasi liyuziqahum ba'd alladhi 'amilu la'allahum yarji'un." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Evil and sins and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have spread on the land and on the sea because of what the hands of men have earned by their oppression and by their evil deeds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make them taste a part of that which they have done, in order that they may return by istighfar and tawbah, by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon." And then Allah said, "قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ أَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِ كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُشْرِكِينَ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Go and travel in the land and see what the end of those before you was. Most of them were idolaters and they were mushrikeen." My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why calamities and difficulties happen, and why He allows them to happen. And in that is reflected the great mercy of our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. He said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ وَمَنْ أَزْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ عَرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, "And verily, we will make them taste of the near torment, which is disasters and calamities in this life, prior to the supreme torment, which is the azab in the akhirah, the punishment of Allah in the day, in the hereafter, in order that they may repent and return to Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and who does more wrong? Who is a bigger zalim than he who is reminded of the ayat of Allah, the evidence, the signs and revelations of Allah, of his Rabb, yet then he turns aside, he refuses. Verily, we will extract retribution from the mujrimeen, from the criminals. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from his retribution. I remind myself and you that the calamity is not a punishment. The calamity is not a punishment. It is the consequence of our actions and a mercy from Allah that he allows us to taste it so that we get a chance to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the obedience of Allah, and to save ourselves from the real punishment of the akhirah. The beauty of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that with every problem, it also shows us the solution. To have hope, it is enormously useful to understand why something happens. Only if we understand the reasons can we create strategies to reverse the negative impact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what to do when we are in the grip of a calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah said, and certainly we shall test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and samarat, your fruits, meaning the earnings that you have earned, lost in all of these things, in yourself, meaning your health, in your lives, and samarat also means your children, your families. And then Allah said, وَوَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ, but give glad tidings to as-sabirin, the people who have sabr, who are patient, who, when afflicted with calamity, they say, truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong, and truly to him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat min rabbihim, blessings from their Rabb. They are blessed and they inshallah they will be forgiven. And they are those who receive his mercy. It is they who are the, and Allah said, and they are the ones who receive his mercy, and it is they who are the rightly guided ones. My brothers and sisters, there are five matters in this Ayatul Karima which I want to point out to you. Let us take a look at each of them and see what is it that we learn and understand from this. The first one is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he promised, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, surely you will be tested. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test us. So when the test comes, we know that it is from Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And therefore, in it can only be khair. So this is a very important thing to understand, that if the test is coming from Allah, and Allah is Rahman Ar-Rahim of the dunya wal-akhirah, then there cannot be anything evil in this test. This test is good. No matter, even though we may not always see it like that, but it is good. And I think COVID is a classic example. I've done a series of khutbahs on this. You have listened to them. COVID is a classic example of something which on the face of it appears to be so evil and bad, but if you reflect on it, it also came with a lot of goodness. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave good news and glad tidings to those who have sabr. Now what is sabr? Sabr is to act, to troubleshoot, to find solutions to the problem, to take action to protect ourselves and others, to help each other, and to have a positive outlook. Sabr is not simply to sit passively and do nothing. It's very important to understand that, because sometimes we get mistaken in this. So sabr is not simply to sit passively. It is to act to the best of our ability to help ourselves and others. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then described what these sabirin do when they are faced with loss. They say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him is our return. They accept their situation with equanimity and dignity and grace, and they do not complain. Rida bil qada is the highest stage of iman and tawakkul. Number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us what He does with such people. He said, on them are blessings from Allah. Mir Rabbihim. Salawatum mir Rabbihim. From their Rabb. And His mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will be on these people. Now what does that mean? What do you think will happen to the one on whom is Allah's blessing and mercy on the day of judgment? How can somebody who Allah has blessed and who Allah has covered with His mercy, how can that person go into Jahannam? So alhamdulillah, this is a guarantee inshallah of Jannah. And number five, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced that such people are rightly guided. The purpose of life is to be rightly guided. Now these people have achieved that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their witness. Who are these people? Who in the face of difficulty, they don't complain, they have sabr, and they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let me end by reminding myself and you about the du'as that Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to protect us from all evil. He told us to recite Ayatul Kursi and Suratul Ikhlas and the Muwaddathain, which is Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas in the morning and evening. So this part of our morning and evening azkar, when we wake up and before we go to sleep, or you can do it after Salatul Fajr and after Salatul Maghrib. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so this is the second one. So one is the Muwaddathain and Suratul Ikhlas and Ayatul Kursi. The second thing is that Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who recites three times every morning and evening, Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa samiul alim, this person will be protected from harm. Nothing will harm this person. This is in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. The dua means Bismillahi alladhi, dua is Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa samiul alim, in the name of Allah, with whose name there is protection against every kind of harm in the earth or in the heavens, and He is the all-hearing and all-knowing. And the third dua that we should make is, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ, which means, I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of whatever He created. And this is in Sahih Muslim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in every way and to provide for you and to protect you from all harm. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.